ladies and germs, Mr. Sammy Bush here. Yes, sir. Well, this boy has had a major influence on many of us Mando pickers, so it's a complete kick in the pants every time we get together and do this Mando thing. This is like the third time this summer we've gotten to do one of these workshops. We were at Telluride recently and did one of those and did it at Merle Fest. And
these guys get to play all the fun festivals.
Here we are. Hi, Sierra.
Hi.
Any questions? What's folk?
Folk?
There you go.
Honey, I have to keep my secrets. Actually, I'm looking for a bluegrass skirt. If anybody has a line on one of those, let me know. Yeah.
I have a question. You're taking a simple tune like, you know, Arkansas Traveler. I only know one way to play it. Where do all the variations come from? Right?
Well.
What's the secret?
Sammy?
They come, hello, test, is this the tello? Where does the ideas come from? In your brain. But really, it's a variation upon a theme. So if the melody is, then you can bank off of that, add maybe a couple of more notes. In other words, keep your melody as a point of reference and then variate off of that, like the second part the same way, which would actually, a very simple way to play the melody, the second part would be. So variating on that is kind of what's become sort of the normal way that all fiddlers and mandolin players kind of do it. In other words, to vary off this. Now becomes, still had those main notes in it with some variations added. And really, that's as far as fiddle tune playing and variating upon the theme, to me, the best way, start with a melody, and then you keep referring back to that melody, quoting that melody while adding, you know, a few grace notes in between, perhaps. And that's just something that, as you work on it in practice, that's your own style will come out, how you want to vary that melody.
Here's something about folk music. To me, folk music is sort of like the building of a Gothic cathedral. Like a lot of things, back in the old days, one person would grab a hold of that melody, learn it from somebody else, put their own subtle stamp or variation on it, and play it that way probably till the end of their life. And so the continuum of a tune developed with folk music in the past would oftentimes be generation after generation after generation, that kind of thing. These days, with the sophistication and the amount of music that people are getting exposed to because of recorded music, whatnot, they can do variations ad infinitum within your own lifetime. You can come up with as many variations on it as you want. But it's part of the folk tradition to put a spin on it yourself and then pass it on. But it's a lot more accelerated now.
We're lucky to live now. We can get hold of all this stuff. We were talking about like flamenco music, for instance, like flamenco guitar style, how we think of that as being really influenced by North African music and oud playing and all that. All the folks that were over there when the Moors were in Spain, and the Jewish folks were there, so they took on all these scales. But it took a long time to pass that stuff around amongst the country. You know, you're probably looking at a couple of hundred years of them. I don't know my exact history, but now, you know, you go down to borders, and there you have it. What country do you want to hear today?
Right.
So we're really lucky to get to, you know, just speed up the process of interacting with each other.
Yeah, it took a long time to develop a lot of that. Arkansas Traveler goes back pre-Civil War, the 1830s, and it was a song. Most people don't even know the words to Arkansas Traveler. There's two variations of it. The more popular vocal version is a minstrel version, a call and response thing between two guys. That was back in the 1880s, but the original one Once upon a time in Arkansas, an old man sat in his little cabin door and fiddled a tune that he liked to hear, a jolly old tune that he played by ear. Goes back to about 1830. So it's, you know.
Yeah, there was another question back there.
Yeah, we got one over here first, and then I'll be back there.
Joe, this is, you guys are talking about folk music and everything, and this isn't really a traditional bluegrass question, but with the exposure of that movie Genghis Blues, and you guys are probably familiar with that guy Paul Pena,
yeah.
You're like the definitive multi-instrumentalist percussionist guy now. Have you ever thought about doing any tuvan throat singing? I bet you could really do it.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you about a guy who is very well known in the hip-hop world. His name is Razelle. He plays with a hip-hop group out of Philadelphia called The Roots. He is the reigning king of the human beatbox, and he has incorporated tuvan throat singing into his thing. He can do the hip-hop set rhythm, bass line, and is now incorporating a backup, like, female soul kind of singing thing on top of all of that. And it's extraordinary. The guy's amazing. So there is a cat who has tapped into that. Razelle, check him out. But I've thought about it, you know, sure. It's just, I mean, man.
Any of these worlds, you know, you can dive in, but it takes a lot of time. You know, I fell in love with Brazilian music a few years ago and just went to Brazil and got really bitten hard by the choro bug. It's style of mandolin playing down there, and came back with a pile of music and CDs and spent a couple of years just learning tunes, you know, maybe 40 or 50 tunes, just learning those melodies. But, you know, of course, I play it with an American accent, and that's who I am. Play some?
Shut up and play.
I'll play something really nice, simple thing in the A minor.